It's Dana and Jason After Hours. Dana.
I would be disappointing to everyone if I was famous because I wouldn't act like famous people.
Because you would still go to Costco?
If they told me I couldn't, then I would say, then take my fame.
Jason.
I wanted to get married to my fiance the first day I met him. So
that would have been a weird 16-year-old gay wedding in West Texas.
It's Dana and Jason After Hours, exclusive podcast.
The weekend edition.
Oh, I love the weekend edition.
Oh, it's the birthday edition.
Oh, I love the birthday edition.
Jason's birthday is tomorrow. We're not talking about your birthday.
Oh, I thought, okay. Well, that's.
Did you want to say anything about it?
That is probably.
It's going to be boring. Anyway, so thank you for joining the After Hours podcast. And I do have to rush you because we do have a special guest joining us right now to talk about one of the big dirt stories from the week.
Okay.
What celebrity attempted to quit social media, but was unable to resist the powers of social media and quickly returned back and better than ever. From wetpaint.com, their editor Sam is joining us in just a second. And then I want to bring another guest into the After Hours podcast.
So many guests.
Olivia Benson, can you just text her right now?
I thought you were going to say some celebrity who wants to celebrate my birthday, but I guess she'll do. Yeah, I'll text her. Hold on.
Okay. Well, as soon as we're done with this report, I want to have her come in. Oh, I should probably say, too, who Olivia is. She is actually on our team now helping us to produce the show. Two of our team members, John Online and producer Puffy, aren't with us anymore. So she's stepped in, and we've had her on before. 25-year-old, beautiful, works at BLI. There's something that happened in her life that you guys were talking about.
Yeah.
It involves catcalls. She was expressing her feelings on that to you, and I want to bring her in to talk about them. So we're going to get to that coming up. But right now, Sam, are you there?
I think we've talked a lot about possibly quitting social media in the past, but have you ever really thought about doing it and done it?
Dana, if it wasn't like a requirement of our job and like keeping in touch with our listeners and stuff, would not have any social media. Maybe MySpace, because she enjoyed that era of her life. And Instagram. She
would keep
Instagram.
Some of it gets to be too much.
What about you, Jason, since I know you're a lot more
No, he's addicted. He's like, is there anything else he could jump on?
Yeah, that's true. I'm really addicted to Snapchat right now. And you can follow me, Samantha. It's Prim Jason, Jason with a Y. Thank you.
Done. Well, if you did go through with it and you quit for whatever reason, how long do you think it would stick? Dana, I'm guessing it would be for forever if you did.
I do like the filters available on Instagram. I might just do Instagram, honestly.
But
at this
everything
point
else
right
you
now.
Would quit.
Facebook stresses me out. Uh-huh. I would probably keep it around. It's not about me. What are we talking about? Who cares about me?
Demi Lovato quit Twitter and Instagram this week, and it lasted less than 24 hours.
Good.
She initially quit because she was saying a little bit too much, I guess, in the press. It came right after she made that comment about Mariah Carey and how she's, quote, nasty towards Jennifer Lopez and Ariana Grande. So she initially quit, and now she's back, and she came back and tweeted, quote, F this, I'm back, bitches. I'm coming back more honest than ever.
Oh.
Oh, wow. That just shows the level of the addiction. That just shows that the addiction of the social media is strong and she couldn't stay away. She wanted to stay away.
Yeah.
If she had her own power, she would stay away. But social media is too strong. It pulled her back in. The vortex of social media.
How long did it quit?
Less than 24 hours.
I've actually retweeted that tweet.
Oh, my gosh.
Because, A, you're right. The addiction is real. Like, you would think you want to be disconnected, but then you're just missing so much on the world and the conversation that's happening
around you. You want to be part of the conversation.
Exactly. But Demi Lovato, out of all of the celebrities, now yeah. I'm a Lovatic. And so
you could say this.
I love her, so I don't want her to quit anything. Everyone got really upset when she literally tweeted out, I quit Twitter, and then another tweet went out, and is Insta, which is amazing.
The fact that you know all this is scary to me.
We all got really upset and said, don't quit, don't quit.
We all.
Yeah.
You and the Lovatics.
Yeah. So we all got really upset because she's the most real out of all the celebrities.
Now she's going to be realer than ever.
She, like, will monologue, tweet out monologues of whatever she's thinking. She doesn't have a filter, which, you know, I live for.
For a non-filtered situation.
Mm-hmm. And who's going to tweet out your Fresh Face Fridays, you know?
Fresh Face Friday, that's makeup-free days?
Yeah, well, she's, like, promoting some skincare line that she's, like, all about.
And you are liking that, retweeting it.
Uh-huh. I enjoy
Such
that.
Such a follower. Yeah.
Yeah. I already said I was a part of the fan club. Well, Sam, you have to follow all these people, right?
Right.
Okay, so, like, at least she's entertaining and real because, you know, like, let's say a Jennifer Lopez type where Jennifer Lopez has someone, like, controlling
her social media.
Yeah, her social media. So she's not, can't be really necessarily real.
Right.
Yeah, and this is what's honestly scary about the whole thing, I think, is that, especially for the celebrities, this is, like, almost giving people like Jason too much access to them.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez is doing it in a way that's controlled and safe for her.
Yeah.
But Demi's opening herself up to people that are crazy and want to take things too far. She's putting herself in a vulnerable position because people just want more and want more and want more and want more of whatever she'll give.
Yeah.
And you like her because she's giving so much of herself.
Yeah.
But that's exhausting.
Well, that's why I'm very particular in the people who I do follow on Twitter because I want to see, like, real posts. And so that's why I don't even follow Beyonce on Twitter.
Because
her team's doing it, yeah.
Her team's doing it.
Well, the thing is, look at what happened with Justin Bieber, right? Like, he stopped doing his meet and greets with fans because it was so exhausting to him.
Oh.
So I just hope that Demi doesn't get exhausted after a while of having to explain herself or fight back at trolls, which she does all the time.
That is
so, I love, but
what a waste of her energy. It's a waste of her energy. She's going to realize that at some point in time. She's too immature right now.
Oh, no, it's going to be, it's so good and so awesome because it's entertainment for us,
why,
right, Samantha?
No, you can't spend your life fighting people on social media that don't even know you.
She's defending herself against bullies, and I think that is a good platform to be on.
Bullies that don't even know her.
Fight the bully.
I know that she's all about, like, anti-bullying or whatever, but this is so extreme and such a waste of energy. And she tried to get away from it, but she couldn't.
She couldn't.
So I feel like it's controlling her, so she really doesn't have freedom, even though she's back and is all about her free speech and whatever.
But, you know, it's really good for her, too, because she's making headlines. She made two headlines this week. You probably had to write about it, Samantha, about how she came for Mariah Carey and then how she quit Twitter for less than 24 hours. That's kind of sad.
Well, and her brand is kind of like the anti-Taylor Swift at this point. Literally, she is anti-Taylor Swift because, you know, they have sort of a bad relationship and she'll call her out on social media.
Yeah.
But Taylor keeps everything under wraps and Demi's all out there.
Yeah. Who would you prefer to interview, Dana? Demi Lovato or Taylor Swift?
That's not the question. That's not the question. You're right. I think there is something. I'm talking about them as human beings. As a radio personality that does a morning show, Demi Lovato, I have had a better interview with Demi Lovato than Taylor Swift. But I feel like when you expose that much of yourself, you're opening yourself up to too many emotions because you're letting everyone in.
All I know is that Demi Lovato and I had a connection when we interviewed and Taylor Swift hung up on me. So I will 100% support Demi and her rants on Twitter.
Like them and retweet them.
Already have, sister. And 30,000 other people have too. How many retweets
do you get? Okay, well, just so you know that your self-worth isn't based on likes. Somebody needs to retweet that at Demi. Quote that tweet.
She'll probably attack you.
I know. I'm not
trying to
trolling
me.
I'm not trying to bully, but I'm just saying. I'm just trying to speak truth. Thank you so much for the dirt, Sam. We appreciate it.
Okay, just so you know, Benson's coming in now.
Oh, okay. Talk to me about what was the discussion you were having with Olivia Benson yesterday, who is one of our team members now as a new producer.
Well, apparently she went to go to a concert. She was on the train, the LIRR, and I guess as she was walking away, she got catcalled.
Okay, that's what it was. Because I overheard you two talking about it, but I didn't catch the beginning of it. So you had a really uncomfortable reaction to the whole situation. And I wonder if the way that you felt is the way that most women feel.
It hit me kind of hard. I had heard this guy talking on the train about some really intense stuff, his time in prison and threatening some other guys on the train. You know, typical Long Island Railroad fight.
That actually seems like an extreme one.
Yeah, yeah, that was extreme. But I don't know if what you do when you're catcalled, because I feel like it happens to everybody.
Yeah, it does.
At least.
Yeah, it does.
When it happens to me, I generally stay quiet, but in my mind, I'm like, I should have said this and I should have said that and I'll do it next time. So this time I was like, this is my chance. I'm going to do it. I'm going to stand up for myself. I'm going to tell him off. And I remembered what he was talking about on the train and I put my head down and I kept walking like I didn't hear it. And I was really disappointed in myself for not having said the things I wanted to say.
And what would you have said if you had that moment to do over again, or what was going through your mind? If it were the perfect world and he said something to you, how would you have responded?
I'm not really sure now. I mean,
Well, the point of it was, when you're thinking in those terms, you want to feel better walking away from that situation.
Yeah.
Because what it does when somebody catcalls you, because I've thought about this too, is that they're almost taking something from you with their words, I feel like, a little bit. They've put themselves in a position over you that they could just put their opinion on you and you just have to accept it. And you have to sort of, I don't know, I guess the expectation would be that it would be flattering and we should have some sort of positive response. I don't know what the goal is, honestly.
Yeah, like we're walking down the street thinking that we look like crap. And then thank God that this guy came up to me and said, I look really good today, because I would have never known. I knew that I looked good that night. I wasn't going to go up to him and say, like, thank you, do you want to come home with me? Like, nothing was going to come of that except for the fact that he had to voice his concern and, you know, watch me walk away.
And you said nothing.
And I'm sure he expected me to ignore it.
You're 25 years old. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you're an assertive person, or do you feel like you're more of a passive person?
I'm definitely more passive. In my mind, I'm assertive.
Yeah.
In, like, hypothetical situations, I'm the most assertive person
in the
world.
You're so assertive.
Yeah.
I mean, even at age 36, I'm not assertive in moments where I feel like, oh, I would be better representing females if I say something here. And also, it's because I don't want to escalate the situation. I don't want another comment. I don't want to engage in a conflict, because I'll do the same thing. I pretend I don't hear it and I keep walking. And it actually made me so mad the other day, because it happened at one of my favorite stores where they were handing out samples.
Costco.
And so I'm walking and these guys were giving out samples.
You got hit on at Costco?
Yeah, and it was a different Costco that I'm not as familiar with. Like, it wasn't the one where I feel like I'm friends with everybody. Yeah. I went to a different location and they were handing out samples of veggie burgers. It wasn't even like a typical catcall, because they were trying to get me to try their veggie burger and take a free sample. But it was like, made me uncomfortable. And he said something about, like,
what'd he say?
I see you walking by, you pretty little lady. You want to try this free sample? How are you going to walk past a free sample? You're not going to try my veggie burger? Okay, I see you walking by. Mm-hmm. You look good.
Are you sure he wasn't gay?
I don't. No,
I see you, pretty lady.
No, if it was like that, I would have been so. But I mean, you wouldn't have said that. I felt uncomfortable, and I actually just. Sometimes I try and hone my acting skills in those moments of, like, I really can't hear you.
Right?
I really can't hear you. Because I wouldn't want to address it.
Okay.
I feel like that's such a turnoff. Like, how could you even turn around and go up to talk to this person and take that veggie burger after that? I would be scurrying away as fast as I possibly could.
I mean, who would want a veggie burger after it's been tainted by his words?
Who would want a veggie burger,
that's
period?
That's a good question, period.
Yeah, see, I wish people would catcall me.
What?
Dead air.
You would want that from that man from prison.
Yeah. Yeah, the man from prison or a construction worker.
That man from prison also took his shoes off on the train.
Still into it.
It smelled like a pet shop.
I'm okay with that.
And then he stood up on the train and admitted that he took off his shoes and asked for a fight from anybody who didn't like the smell.
I'm into that. I like dirty.
You like aggressive.
But where is the line?
Nowhere.
What line are you referring to?
I've only been catcalled once, and that was by a woman.
What?
Who knew I was gay. Like, there was no way that I couldn't be gay.
What were you wearing?
I was wearing these shorts, and she...
The polka dot ones?
She was driving by me. The khaki ones. She was driving by me, and she slowed down and stopped and rolled down her window, and she goes, your butt looks really good in those shorts.
Yeah, but see, I don't think that she necessarily knew you were gay because your butt does tend to look nice in shorts. You have like a J-Lo butt.
Yeah, and I said, me?
Then she knew you were gay. Then she knew. No more questioning. Oh. That was disappointing for her. She went out of her way.
Pulled over.
Because you have a butt.
Thank you.
And you were probably strutting it. And so that cackle, and you felt good about that?
Yeah.
You don't care, though, if it's a dude that's just really being obnoxious about it?
I don't think it's obnoxious. I would take it as a compliment. I wouldn't respond back because I don't know how to respond back in any situation.
But your spirits would be elevated?
Mm-hmm. My spirits would be high. I would be like, thank you. I'm glad that you want to sleep with me and treat me like a bee or whatever they say. I don't know what they say.
Maybe it's because you're not a woman.
Probably. But I have a question. Well, okay, so like, yeah, so I want anyone to ever give me a compliment.
You beg me to compliment you on a daily basis. And then you stop dressing up for work because I wouldn't compliment you because I would forget. So you wear gym clothes every day now.
Exactly. And I would, if anyone wants to sleep with me, I'm so shocked because I was so ugly. I went through a very, very ugly phase during puberty.
That's not unique. We all did. Okay. I did.
Okay, yeah. So I don't see myself as an attractive human being. So when someone's like, I want to like have sex with you.
That's a surprise to you?
That's a surprise to me. So that's why I take it as a compliment. I'm like, oh, you do? Thank you, construction worker. But no one ever catcalls me because no one catcalls guys or gays. They just do the up and down.
They do the up and down, yeah.
Yeah, and that's all they do. But okay, so stepping into your world, let's just say that, like, I agree with you that catcalling is demoralizing and they take something from you. What good comes from being silent?
Safety. Because you don't know. Like, there's so many random guys. If you're walking down the street in the city, I think it's just you don't know what the guy's capable of. If you instigate something or if you anger him, you know, he probably expects you to silently walk by or welcome his compliment, but if you fight it, then you might throw him off and you don't know this person.
So if I were going to be feisty and say something back?
I don't think you have to be feisty or elevate the situation in a negative way.
I don't even know what I would say back. I don't even know what I have to say about that.
No thanks. That's not how you get a woman.
I didn't ask you?
That I didn't ask you.
Head. That's something that comes from your head?
Yeah.
But you know what's really interesting is I think you're so nice that it would be a stretch. Don't you feel like it would be even a stretch to say that much? And you have to get into the character of wanting to say something like that.
Yeah, and the thing is that, like, stepping into that world of people who actually get catcalled, because I don't.
Go back to that moment where that woman pulled over.
You're walking down this street, heading to Starbucks, not minding your own business, not thinking in any of that headspace, and then someone basically pushes you off your path and you have to rebound really quickly. It's like someone's breaking your world really quickly. And so you get thrown off. That's why you don't know what to say in the moment.
Yeah.
But like what you guys are referring to and saying, it's like you get thrown off. You don't know how to react. You want to say something, but instead you walk away in shame.
I don't feel shame. I just feel my heart rate gets elevated. I don't like the way I feel. I feel like when I say like they're taking something, it's more like taking advantage, because I'm not dressing for people, for men to, like I am not. And
you even get uncomfortable when like people around our office who you know goes, oh, you look really nice today. That's a really great blah, 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 whatever you're wearing. And it's not necessarily sexual. It's just like a compliment. But Dana doesn't want a compliment like that.
I don't know how to respond to compliments either. I kind of just blankly look back at that person and hope the moment ends.
Well, I was complimenting you yesterday because I liked your shirt. But do you feel that way about women?
No, actually.
Not at all, right?
I think it's more of like, I like your shirt. I would get that shirt and buy it if I saw it. Generally, like, I feel like when people are like, I like your dress, I like your shirt, I'm like, thanks, it's from here.
Me too.
Kind of offering that information.
Yeah, like, Target, so cheap, love it, or something like that. That's
like
how what I do.
And you both can accept compliments from gay dudes, too, because I ran into Olivia at the Beyonce concert, and she looked effing hot. And I literally were like, you look so damn hot. And you were like, thank you. And it
did receive the compliment.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm not a threat. I'm not going to try to sleep with you or anything like that.
It does have to do with that, yeah. There's something about you putting your sexual stuff out there at me that makes me feel like I have to then deal with it.
Because you don't want to be viewed like a...
I don't know. I just know that... And it's interesting, too, because Olivia... Well, you're in a relationship. I was thinking maybe it just has to do with the fact that I'm married and I don't want to have to deal with a guy saying something. And this is all subconscious. It's not even that I'm thinking those things in the moment, or I'm thinking, oh, he wants to sleep with me. He's going to ask me to sleep with me or something like that, because I'm not thinking that.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to deal with. It's almost like you think you have the right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling you what I think about you. You know what I mean? I'm not just imposing the fact that you look really dirty right now or whatever I might think. I'm not even looking at you. And if I did, I would just keep my comments to myself, because that's how we're to operate in society and mm-hmm. function.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a sense of entitlement. Like, females don't really feel as entitled on the street to like yell out our opinion about, I don't know. You know?
I think that's there's something to that, except for that woman that could not resist
the booty
of Nicki Minaj sitting next to me right now.
I know, it's thick. Yeah, I mean, but I'm going to go back to my original statement and say, like, nothing's going to change unless you guys start speaking up for yourselves. This is the problem with women in society, is that they want change or they expect change, but they aren't pioneers themselves.
I mean, that's kind of convicting.
Sorry. And like, that's the okay. I'm very convicted about this. And this will lead me, because we are all in the radio.
He's the biggest feminist in the room, by the way. You guys may not know that.
Yeah, just in case you were wondering. The women, there's not a lot of women hosts and things like that. And I feel like there has to be courageous, strong, pioneering women to make that change, because you guys are already facing a lot of crap, which is... The people in charge in our industry, in our society, are white old men. They're very boring, and they hold the power. They hold it in our industry, and they hold it in our government. And we don't have a lot of diversity, and we don't have a lot of women voices out there. Dana is like 1 out of 4 women host. 1 out of 4 out of all radio.
Not in all radio, just in top 40.
Just in top, whatever, are what we play, okay? But that's still such a small amount. How many top 40 radio stations are there?
I don't know, but I
get your
point.
There's a lot. Okay, and so, but Dana, you guys get put into stereotypes really quickly. So you're either like the mother, the laugh track, or you're a sex symbol where people can fantasize about you. And you have to be careful on how you talk, what you say, in what tone you say it. Because then if you say that you like to have sex, then you become a slut. If you raise your voice, you become a bitch, or you become a shrill mother. And you women have to be pioneers and start standing up for yourselves and not care about other people and what they're going to say about you. And then once you open that door, other women are going to be able to walk through it.
Well, that's very powerful and that's very inspiring. I guess it's just like in that moment, it would be really hard for me to muster up something that I don't even feel is natural for me to have conflict. Because for me to go there, I'm just minding my own business, not even paying attention to anything. And then somebody says something. Maybe they just think they're being nice or whatever, but it makes me uncomfortable.
I think if you turn on the news, how many crimes against women do you see on the news? Like, I'm scrolling through tons of news websites to find content for my show, and I see like an 18-year-old boy who like killed his girlfriend because she broke up with him. Like, you think you're being nice and you're avoiding conflict,
yeah,
but you stand up for yourself, and that could get you in trouble too. So there's a lot of different factors that, like, I think pigeonhole us into the nice, conflict avoiding, passive role.
Yeah, society tells you to be silent. So what are you going to do about that? I mean, in that situation, that man was clearly insane and crazy and all that kind of stuff. So, like, in your specific Olivia situation on the train. But there's other times where, like, you don't have to be necessarily mean about it.
I feel like there's so many... Okay, so if I were going to do it, I would want to represent myself well.
Yeah.
And I don't operate in the spirit of, I'm going to be nasty to you.
I don't think you should.
Right. So anything that I'm going to say that's assertive or whatever is going to be wrapped in kindness because I don't want to do it another way. I don't want them to, because if I kind of popped off in a sassy manner and yelled at them and yelled at them back, and I don't even know what I would say because it's not really something I would, is natural. Then they, if I yelled at them, they would be like, okay, bitch, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Then I have to have another comeback. And then it's like, how much are you going to engage? Because then aren't you just at their level? So if I were going to say something, it would have to be assertive. It would have to be like firm to my convictions, but wrapped in kindness. So it's like that middle ground where you're not passive and you're not a bitch. But that takes a lot of effort, and it's still outside of my comfort. I shouldn't have to do this. I shouldn't have to work this hard.
Just to feel comfortable to walk down the street.
Okay.
I have to.
Call the wham-wham-wambulance right now, because guess what, Dana? That's life.
Well, too bad. I'm just
Dana,
saying.
Dana, in your life in general, you shouldn't have to be facing all these stupid labels and stereotypes, and you shouldn't be having to worry about the tone in which you say something, because people might think of their mom and they hate their mom, so now they're going to hate you, or think that you're a bitch automatically. You shouldn't have to work that hard.
The reason that he's saying that is because we actually received a critique because I speak loudly and have tried to adjust that, is that our consultant said when people hear a woman speaking loudly, it instinctively reminds them of their mother yelling at them as a child, and so they're not going to like you. That's true.
It's sexism as its finest.
But she's probably right. There's probably research that backs that up or something. Yeah. So I've had to adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying that. It's just really a matter of, I wouldn't want to treat somebody in a spirit of nastiness, even though it makes me feel compromised when they're saying something. So I would want to be nice.
Okay. I'm not saying be mean.
Be mean, right.
I co-sign everything you just said about your response.
So what would be a good one? Just like...
Okay, perfect. So let's just say that you say something assertive towards me sexually. I see you there walking, blah, 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 blah. I would go over there, get the veggie burger, talk to him and say, please don't address me like that, because actually, you know what you're doing when you... It makes me feel very uncomfortable. And I know you're trying to give me a compliment and I understand where you're coming from. But that's not really like... a compliment. I don't take it as a compliment. I actually kind of feel weird about the situation, and I know that you don't want to.
He would probably want to smash a veggie burger all over his face and or stuff it in his ears and eyes so he couldn't see me or hear me.
Good.
That's probably what would happen. And honestly, that is something I could handle.
I know. That, like,
that's how I would say it.
Say it. I know.
You know me better than me.
I don't think that it's a compliment. I don't even think that people that
do it are trying to give you a compliment.
Yeah, I think it's more self-serving.
It is. It's one. You're so right about that. They would say it's a compliment. Yeah. Sorry, I was just trying to compliment you. Sorry, just trying to be nice or whatever. But you're right. It is 100% about them, not about you.
Right. So I don't even think that people would be like, wow, you just taught me something. Well, I won't address people like that from now on, because it wasn't really to give you a compliment. I mean, maybe...
They're going to say that, maybe in Costco. Well, no, to sell a veggie burger.
That's why you say something, because they think it's a compliment, or that's their excuse of saying it. And you go, I know what you were, like, you thought
you're
it was
basically giving them the benefit of the doubt, even though you
know
that that's not what it is. You're right. It is about them. It's about them with their, like, overload testosterone and whatever's going on in their life, that they just spew out stuff that is just feels like verbal...
It's a verbal assault.
Yeah.
I hate to use it that extreme, but I mean, it's like a verbal minor assault. I would want to walk away from that, whatever it is, feeling good, instead of feeling like, oh, I have to recover from that uncomfortable thing that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it would probably be worth saying something. My goal would not be to get the final word. He could have the final word. Yeah. The goal would be just to, I guess, address it. On behalf of, I know what you're saying, like kind of on behalf of women, yeah.
Ugh. Make him think about it.
Yeah.
He's probably used to people just walking by.
Or walking by or popping off.
Yeah.
And so, like, and both of you women here, Olivia and Dana, you guys aren't people who pop off. Usually it's like okay, that was awkward. Now, why do you have anxiety when it's not your fault? And, like, that's an injustice. And I want justice. Because that is ridiculous. You shouldn't ever go through your life because some stupid person.
Right, but I mean, that's true. But, you know, that's something that we have all experienced. I don't know. I mean, you with bullying. So it's like, I hear you, what you're saying now, but that's kind of how we've experienced life, you know, in younger years. You just kind of deal with it and you're still kind of growing into what response you should have. But it's not like you've always had those skills within you, you know?
No, and I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, like, I'm not trying to be make you feel guilt or anything, but I'm just saying, like, no one should ever have to feel anxiety when they're just trying to live their life because of some person putting their objectifying statements on you. That's ridiculous and wrong.
I guess it's just so ingrained
that
we have to internalize the discomfort to make sure that we keep the peace around us.
Mm-hmm.
That it's so difficult to break out of that. It's such a change in character.
Yeah, it is. It is. I could see, could you see doing what Jason's talking about? Is like, that would take a lot of strength too.
I would have to prep myself. It's not something that I think I could just turn around and just do in a snap and just turn into that person. I would have to be like, okay, I see that guy. He's looking at me as I'm walking down the street and I'm going to, you know, jump into this characterization of like this strong person that I like to think that I am, you know?
Right. And I wouldn't, and I would want it to come off nicely. And that's the thing. I mean, because my goal isn't to shame him because he makes me feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. My goal would really be to just hopefully get him to stop doing it to other people. So, I mean, that what you kind of said would be in my tone of voice. I think just being like, I understand you're trying to compliment me, but you just made me feel so uncomfortable. I don't know. I just wanted to tell you that.
And don't say sorry, because
women's
tendency always be like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I actually have to give you truth, that I have to speak the truth. I'm so sorry. And that you have to deal with it.
I wonder how somebody would respond to you telling them that they made you feel uncomfortable. Because that just, like, that's so real that they couldn't really attack you for that.
Right.
It was their action.
Well, right. And when you use the, you're making me feel, that's why they always say that's such a good way to address a problem is, well, I understand where you're coming from, but the way that you made me feel is this. No one can tell you don't feel that way. And they could say something obnoxious or nasty back to you. And I think if that were the direction it went, I'm not going to keep engaging.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I don't care that much. It's just in the moment, if I were able to say something like that, I think that would probably be a good way of handling it. Because it's our almost automatic response, unless you're a really assertive woman that doesn't mind just going after it, you know, engaging in a conflict in that way. I would say that's probably only 5% of women.
Yeah. Yeah.
We normally just ignore it.
I was honestly going to Google like a good response to catcalling just because I felt so defeated after. I felt so defeated. Like I had disappointed myself for not standing up for myself and like not really lived up to, because I feel like I spend a lot of thought and energy into gender equality and all that. But then when it came down to it, I did nothing. So I was going to research a little bit.
Interesting about when you said you felt defeated, because what that kind of paints a picture of to me is that when they're doing the catcall, I was thinking in terms of it's their overload of testosterone spilling, but it also puts them in a dominant position over you because they said something and it caused you to feel. And maybe that's what it is, because they're so insecure that they're putting something on you because they know you're uncomfortable. Like you said, it's about them. And maybe it's not even like as much of the sexual thing as what I was initially thinking, because I've never actually thought about the catcall thing. I just know it's going to make me uncomfortable. I ignore it. I pretend I don't hear it and I walk. But that's pretty interesting to think, oh, they're just doing it because they're insecure and they want to feel power, because they know that they're inflicting an emotion on somebody else who's not responding. So just like being bullied in high school, they just won because they got to say their thing and
they have the upper hand.
And I wasn't brave enough to say something back.
Yeah, they're taking your strength.
That's what it is. That's when I said I felt like something's being taken. Mm-hmm. To me, it really isn't as much of the sexual thing. that's what's so interesting about this is like, but I knew that I felt something was taken, that it's taking your strength.
Yeah.
Because when you don't feel like you stuck up for yourself, like you just said, Olivia, you feel like, oh, my power, or my, I felt defeated. That's interesting. But I think saying something without being nasty is the, I would want to represent myself that way. Because it's still strength. You don't have to be loud or mean to have strength.
But I like that you thought initially when I said you need to respond back is to pop off, though, which that says something about your viewpoint of like an assertive person.
Yeah, I do. That, but that's what you see most. I rarely see somebody handle conflict well. Because to me, that's a minor conflict. You have to engage in something that's uncomfortable and address something that made you uncomfortable. I don't have any role models of that. So I very, very few. I mean,
yeah, I mean, but I mean, look at your job too. What, who are your women role models in your workforce?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you look at it, like, who are your women role models in just, like, general society, if you have any powerful women to look up to?
Dana. Oh,
Dana.
But, yeah, I mean, there's so, they're I don't have any. Yeah. That are, I remember one reason that Olivia and I connected is because it's always been in my mind that when I started in radio, the woman that was on the morning show at my station was not nice to me. And I even said I was 22 and I was like, I was doing overnights from midnight to 3:30 in the morning, Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. And I wanted advice from her because I had so much respect for her because she was doing a morning show. She was a co-host on the morning show and I listened to them in college every day. And then all of a sudden I was working at this station and she wasn't nice to me. And I was like, gave me this bad sense and it just made me feel like, okay, you're in it, you're on your own and you have to figure this out. And then once I started getting a little bit more experience, I just, it was my nature anyway, but I was like, I'm going to go out of my way to be nice to women that are in this industry if ever I have more experience than them, because all they're going to want to do is just understand. Because I remember being the 22-year-old doing overnights, like, how do I kind of want to do mornings. How would I do that? She didn't want to talk to me. I'm like, this is not the way I want the industry to be. Mm-hmm. But I don't have a role model in this industry for myself. I have peers, though.
Yeah.
So I do try and learn a lot from them.
Yeah.
So, but anyway.
Well, I'm just saying, like, sadly, and everything, you have to be like a trailblazer. What is that? You have to break the glass ceiling? Does that work in the?
It does. You know what? Somebody want there. It's just really interesting when you say that phrase because it rubs me the wrong way. I know you didn't like mean it, except to say because people say that. One year when I was at this radio convention that we go to for morning shows, there was at a women's panel, and one of the questions to the women that were on the panel was, "Do you think there's a glass ceiling for women in radio?" And every single one of them said yes. And it made me want to stand up and scream that there wasn't. And I don't know if the reality is that there is or there isn't, but I don't think you can live under that statement. I don't think that can be your view on society or your industry. Even if you do feel like there's opposition or you do feel like there's obstacles, mm-hmm. I feel like you have to find a way around them. So it made me feel defeated for them. And I really said, I was like, we should make up a panel for next year. There's no expletive glass ceiling for women because I don't think there has to be. I think you have to find ways around it because you don't have to feel defeated.
Well, maybe the difference is some people use it as a crutch and other people have to acknowledge it and work that much harder. Like, I feel like you didn't use it as a crutch. Like, you didn't say, well, I'm not going to be the host of a top 40 morning show because there's a glass ceiling. Like, you just continued to muscle through it and were the best host that you could possibly be.
She actually said something last year or something because she was featured on a woman's panel once at a radio convention. And she said that she didn't have to work four times harder against men. She had to work four times harder against herself because she wanted to be the best at what she did. And so that's one of the difference. And I think that's true feminism and true gender equality is when you don't feel like you're competing with men and you don't feel like there's a glass ceiling. You know that you can do it and you know you can be the best at it.
Mm, that's good.
That's why, like, I feel like that's why a lot of people who are a minority or have different obstacles to get through, they don't and they don't achieve it because they already see the negative and they feel like it's a competition.
The negative is overwhelming. The negative can be overwhelming, and you are facing major opposition in a lot of ways, but I feel like there's always a way. I do, and I think that's cliche and it might sound lame or whatever, but I really do feel like you can always find a way around it. There's always a workaround. And the interesting thing is, let's just say in the radio industry, for example, because that's what I'm most familiar with, they want women. There's a need for women. But no one's going to, what I've found is no one's going to come pull you. No one's going to come out of their way to find you. So it's a matter of, like, what are you going to do to seize whatever opportunity might be there? It literally is all on you. And I felt like I had to overcome. I am the most insecure person I know. So, I mean, whatever, if you find yourself to be insecure, if anybody does, but it's like overcoming, when I say I had to work harder than myself, it was overcoming insecurity after insecurity after the lies you tell yourself in your mind, the defeatist mindset of you really can't do that. It's fighting all those things off.
Yeah, I mean, I know you don't like the, you have to have that mindset and there has to be more people like you, but when you do achieve something, you are breaking the glass ceiling that was originally there. And there has to be like an acknowledgement of it, because a lot of people are in your position. A lot of women are in your position. Same as, like, not to bring up politics, but like Hillary Clinton, that was a moment for women, regardless if you are a Democrat or Republican. It's still like a moment where she's the first woman to ever claim a presidential nomination. And so, I mean, that's a moment. And I don't think that she's thinking, oh, there's a glass ceiling and I can't do it.
Wasn't that her quote?
Yes, but hold
on. But back then.
Yeah, but do you think she would have started it if she thought there was a glass ceiling?
No, I mean, she probably had to overcome, to be where she is, to have that bid, there's so much respect for that. I mean, that she was able to overcome all of the things, like I'm saying, the oppositions, yeah, the things that are in her way. That's on such a much grander scale than what I'm talking about.
But you as a woman have to go like, oh, I mean, of course I can be a radio host of a top 40 radio station.
Right.
Of course I can be president. Of course I can run a company. Of course I can do whatever. Of course I could be blah, blah, blah. And then once you actually get there, then you have to acknowledge that a glass ceiling was broken or there's
something that you overcame.
Yeah.
Something that you overcame, I'd say. Yeah. I just don't like to think about that glass ceiling. Yeah. Because if I think about the glass ceiling, then I will feel like I don't even – it's actually interesting because if I had a picture in my mind, I just think of the sky. I don't think of a ceiling. I think of like limitless opportunity.
You and Hillary have so much in common and you didn't know it.
No, not really. I didn't think we really had anything in common. But aside
except
from our gender,
love.
Yes.
Oh.
And what?
Pantsuits. I'm just joking. You don't wear any pantsuits.
But I love a good blazer.
It's true. And she does also have an array of colors she likes to choose from.
I probably wouldn't go with a bold blue or a yellow, but that's just me.
But I mean, right?
I feel like we're more inclined to imagine a man in a position than we are to imagine a woman. I mean, I know even radio stations that don't play two songs sung by females back to back because they think it's too female focused.
Wait, what? Yeah. Wait, I don't even know that.
And yeah.
Wait, so wait, what's the whole thing?
I mean, I know radio stations that won't even play two songs back to back that are sung by female singers. It has to be broken up with a song sung by a male.
But they'll play two male singers back to back?
Yeah, it won't be an issue. And I think when females in a position
it really catches our eye because it's not naturally what we would expect. I mean, think about, can you think of any morning show that's hosted by two females?
I think there might be. There is one, right?
In Dallas. Yeah, it's
An afternoon show.
It's an afternoon show, and it's, I forgot what it features Courtney.
Uncorked.
Uncorked, and it's a great, actually great show, but it one.
I can think of one. I think there might be one in Miami that does an afternoon show, but it's not two females in the morning. And it was interesting to me once because I did recommend it for somebody. Why don't you and this female team up together to a friend? And the response that they got was, well, your voices sound too similar. And I don't know if there's enough differences between you to have a show, because you need creative conflict on your show, people with differing opinions on your show in order to have whatever. But I thought that was so interesting because if you turn on the radio, it's two dudes always. And it's just so funny that you would say that, because I could turn on a radio station. I remember listening to a radio station when I used to live in North Carolina, and I would turn it on and their names were Chris and Chris. What's more confusing than that?
Yeah.
I mean, what isn't Mike and Mike is something? And
yeah.
But so, two females have too much in common to do a show with each other.
Right. I just, at the time, I think I was much younger at the time, so I just kind of accepted that for, like, oh, they said that? Really? Okay. I didn't believe it, but there was nothing I could do about it, and I never really gave it a lot of thought afterwards. But I was like, oh, my gosh. There was a time, there was a radio station that wanted to put a four-female show together, and they were considering me as one of the people to be on it, and nothing ever happened with it. They never took it to the next level. No one believed in the vision enough to ever do it. And it wasn't my vision. It was just, oh, we would consider you for this as one of the characters on the show. The person had a big vision and no one wanted it.
Right. So the positions aren't even being made. I mean, I think that's why there's like this weird, awkward competition sometimes between women, because there's so few positions. On a personal level, you could be friends with somebody, but then when it comes to the professional level, you know, you kind of need to elbow everybody out of the way so you can prove yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's interesting, because one of the questions I was talking to a friend, she was asking me, do you think there's a sisterhood in radio among women? And there are people that I'm friends with, but I would not say there's a sisterhood because of that. It's the competitive nature of it, and maybe the insecurities of like, well, she might get my job, or what if, and that's sad.
Dana and I have more of a sisterhood.
We have a sisterhood. But you're not threatened by me and I'm not threatened by you. So I think that's part of it. There's no competitive spirit.
The only time I've ever threatened by you is when you're maintaining your weight.
That's true.
I hate you for that.
And at this very moment,
I do feel threatened because Dana's so pretty.
Oh my God.
That I'm so not. And
you
I have to like,
liar.
I have to step
he
up my game.
He looks better in every photo than I do.
I have
and
to
it's
step
so
up my game.
Yeah, you're so stupid.
Because she like showers regularly. Well, I mean, not regularly, but like she always comes in like so well dressed and have full makeup on and hair did. And I come in with sweatpants on.
Okay. So I feel good about this conversation. Don't you feel like this was helpful in a way?
I feel a little bit more ready to assert myself in a hypothetical situation, but hopefully in a real life situation.
Well, even if you don't respond, you feeling defeated is something.
Yeah, not
right?
internalizing.
Not and like realizing what the situation is. It's kind of like when people were like women who are sexually assaulted and they don't talk about it. Like, why is
well,
that?
Well, in that case, it's like you don't want people not to believe you. Yeah. And you don't want to be accused of anything because you already dealt with enough pain. So that's very extreme.
Somebody could tell you that you're lying and then all of that pain that you've been feeling.
Yes.
But yeah, never like don't feel defeated, because then those people are winning.
So I think then the only way to not feel defeated or have something feeling like you're being taken from is to say something and saying, you really made me feel uncomfortable when you do that. When you just did that, that
and it's
going to
be
really
an awkward situation. They're for going to feel awkward. You're going to feel awkward. It's going to be awkward.
The awkwardness is so much better than walking away feeling
defeated.
Bummed out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because even to this day, I've been feeling uncomfortable about it. It was 2 days ago.
It must have been a really abrasive assault.
I don't know why it really... I think because it was just my time to be like, finally, this happens. You know,
it was building
occasionally,
up.
Yeah, and finally I'm going to, you know, be that person that I've envisioned, but I wasn't. And it just really stuck with me. I'm really confused why, but... I'm not really sure. I don't fully understand it.
I know. And that's why I think this conversation was helpful. I think I'm going to, I'll think about it. And maybe next time I will.
The only time I feel uncomfortable with compliments is when I feel like they're just using it as a conversation filler. Like it's not really true. It's just you have to say something.
Like what would somebody say is like a conversation filler?
Well, there's this one person in our office who just wants to talk. And so they always, like, this person always walks around and will say, like, hey, I really like your blah, blah, blah that you're wearing. And I'm like, you can just say hi.
Because you feel it's inauthentic.
Yeah. But I want to be catcalled. And I want to...
So put that out there.
I want to feel like a piece of meat. I basically have to make my fiance like dress up as a construction worker and then say, hey, honey, I would like to take that out or something. I don't know.
Being a piece of meat is the goal.
That's all I want. Medium rare piece of meat. Yummy.
Thank you. Okay. Are you done? Thank you.
This is Dana and Jason.
106.1 BLI.
We have to talk about a huge Hollywood breakup, Taylor Swift and Calvin Harris. The reason for it is quite simple. After 15 months together, she started pushing him to propose, and he does not want to be engaged or married until he's at least 35.
Ugh, so annoyed by that he has like a marriage timeline. That's not even realistic. Be flexible or get out.
That's what he did. He got out because he wasn't flexible.
Dana and Jason in the morning. Weekday mornings from 5:30 to 9 on 106.1 BLI and anywhere on demand at WBLI.com and the free BLI app.